welcome to the Grow Your English podcast with English Language Tree. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Grow Your English podcast, which is coming to you from the UK, where it's currently blowing a gale, and it is the sixth day of Christmas. As the song goes, on the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying. If you don't know the song, you can look it up. It's a traditional cumulative song called the 12 Days of Christmas, and on the sixth day, six geese is quite fitting because today's podcast episode is all about birds. I'm going to give you my 2024 bird highlights and also recommend a couple of bird related treats. This short episode is rounding off 2024, and I will be starting 2025 with the next episode in the exam mini series. There was a huge storm and a power cut here recently, and then I was very ill, so that's why the podcast progress has slowed down slightly towards the end of this year. However, here I am. And before I share with you my bird spotting highlights, let me just remind you that if you would like a transcript of this episode, checked and corrected by me, not by AI, then this time if you head to my Instagram, which is at eltreeonline, you can get a copy of the transcript of today's episode. Okay, let's talk birds. So you may know that I live on the west coast of Wales in the UK, and I'm very lucky to live in such a beautiful part of the world. There's a lovely forest at the end of my road, there are beautiful beaches nearby, hills, woodland, country lanes, lots of peace and space, you get the picture. So I'm always listening out for and looking out for birds. If a cluster of goldfinches flutters up from a hedgerow, I get very excited, for example. My eyesight isn't as good as my, let's call it, earsight, so I don't always see the birds that I hear when I'm walking in the woods, but I am always scanning the skies, and I get that kind of surge of excitement if I see a bird that looks particularly interesting or one that I don't think I've seen before. Here are some of my favourite bird-related moments this year. Winter here is always quite wet, quite chilly, but it's the time of the year that the starlings are here in Aberystwyth, and every night they flock in large numbers to roost underneath the pier by the sea. And back in March, a good friend was here, and we saw a brilliant murmuration. A murmuration is where all the starlings flock together in huge numbers. They make amazing patterns in the sky, and I like to think it's like iron filings with a kind of magnetic pull that shapes the cloud of birds, and you can hear the beat of their little triangular wings, and you can hear them chattering to each other. It's quite amazing. Moving towards the summer, if I look at my audio recordings of birdsong on my phone, there are more and more birds listed as we move through spring. And early summer, the early days of June, was a highlight for woodland birds. I'll play you some sounds at the end of this episode, but I heard warblers, buntings, chiffchaffs, wrens, blackcaps, robins, goldcrests, which I've never seen, goldfinches, siskin. Some of these are quite hard to find in other parts of the UK, but the woodland was teeming with birds. Not that I could spot them, but their sounds were wonderful. So that's an early summer highlight. At the end of June, my partner and I went to stay in a shepherd's hut with our dogs out in the countryside, not far from where I live. It's very simple. You can cook outside on the fire and sit out on the tree stumps on a warm evening and wait for the sun to go down. We'd heard that there was a snowy owl hunting in the fields. Actually, one of my dogs caught a mouse in that field, but we didn't expect to see the snowy owl doing the same thing. On the last night of our stay, just as we were having a glass of wine, sitting, the embers of the fire were glowing, the fire was dying down, the light was fading, and we were talking quietly, and then we saw in the dusk, in the gloom, a big white bird skimming along next to the hedge, and we both fell silent. It was incredible to see. We could just about make out this shape with huge wings, very gently and quietly swooping along, making its way across the field, and then it settled, perched in a tree on the lookout for rodents. And this was very humbling, actually, to witness something so unusual, so special. And we felt like we were just kind of visitors to that field at that point. We were both quite moved. So yeah, the snowy owl was possibly the highlight of the whole year, but that was at the end of June. On another woodland walk in a different part of the county at the end of July, I got to see a nuthatch, which is a small kind of flattish bird which scuttles along tree trunks. It has a stripe along it. I was listening out with my app and I saw its name come up, so I was really trying to peer into the trees and see if I could find this little bird. And I did. I saw it. I was on my own in the wood, and it felt like a very personal encounter, and it felt special to see a bird I'd not seen before. Moving into autumn, blackbirds, robins, blue tits, chaffinches, even bullfinches, these are all quite common to where I live. But in November, in particular, the red kites stood out for me. So I'm lucky to live where there are these huge birds of prey with a forked tail. They're more common than they used to be. There are protection programs and feeding programs in place, which means that I often see the red kites, often in pairs, soaring above us, looking out for prey, kind of rotating their heads very systematically from side to side. And here in November, the hills are covered with bracken, which is a kind of a green fern type plant, which dies off in the autumn to a beautiful rusty red hue. And the colour of the red kites is very similar to the colour of the hills. In December, I return to starlings again, this time in Italy. I arrived into Rome, one of the airports in Rome, at dusk. And as I exited the terminal building, the chattering, squawking sound of many starlings greeted me. And I was quite surprised with the different sounds that they make compared to the starlings here in Wales. If you were at my talk, my workshop at the Relax Into Your English Digital Retreat back in July, you will know, well, you might know anyway, that starlings are brilliant mimics. They make a huge range of sounds. They copy other birds, they copy machines. They really do have a wide range of sounds. I was really surprised at how different these Italian starlings sounded. And I tried to speak to my taxi driver about these birds. My Italian is almost non-existent, and his English wasn't that much better, but he managed to explain that the birds are dangerous, and I got the impression that he thought they were a nuisance, which is actually how they are viewed in many parts of the world. And I know that birds in general can cause problems with aeroplanes. In the last few days in South Korea, there's been a terrible plane crash. And part of the investigation is to find out whether birds could be part of the cause of the crash. However, it's rare that birds actually cause planes to crash and cause fatalities. As I understand it, there are safety features and kind of protocols in place which prevent the birds getting into the aeroplanes to cause fatalities. In English, it's known as a bird strike, which I don't like because I find that that name puts a lot of blame on the birds. And we have to remember that in our modern capitalist, growth-driven, travel-hungry society, we inhabit their world. You know, birds have adapted around us, but we inhabit the world that wasn't ours originally. And I think it's worth remembering that. And this thought leads me nicely into telling you about an amazing book which I've read this year. And I was able to go and listen to the author doing a reading at a little bookshop in Aberystwyth near where I live. I got to listen to the author's thoughts about her work and chat to her. Her name is Jasmine Donahue, and the book is Birdsplaining. The title is interesting in itself, but that's perhaps the subject for another podcast episode. And to say that this book is a collection of essays doesn't really explain how multi-layered it is. It's observations of birds and other creatures, personal reflections, ecological thought, social commentary. And as it says on the back of the book, she's unapologetically focused on the uniqueness of women's experience of nature and the constraints placed upon it. It is a wonderful read. If you are interested in any of those themes, I do recommend that you pick up this book. It's very moving, very keenly observed, and it's all woven together with beautiful writing. I'm just going to read a short section for you. Starlings squabble all the time, in a grating, noisy conflict. These ones roost nearby, in the winter, in a bit of forestry, and sometimes, before heading for sleep, they make a compelling black murmuration against the red sky and silhouetted wind turbines of Mynydd Bach. Now, working their way across the field in search of food, they are all glossy, bustling bossiness, and they seem unafraid, except when they are at the back of the flock. At first, the continual squabbling seems to be random conflict, as, a few at a time, they take off and land. But then a pattern begins to emerge. There's nothing random about it. They are working the field the way they work a murmuration, each with close attention to the birds immediately around them, so that the whole flock seems to participate in an immense collective choreography. She then goes on to talk about existential threat, the threat to women's safety, perception of how we move in the world, humans feeling forces beyond our control, climate change, forces of nature that are bigger than us. Now moving to a film, which is called Bird. And this second piece of bird-related culture is a film by British director Andrea Arnold. And I watched this film very recently. It is stunning. It might not be the type of film that you would usually consider, but if you are able to find it and watch it, I'd love to hear what you think. Personally, I really love how this director works with social realism, ecological themes, birds in particular, but other animals, the natural world, however you interpret that, alongside the intense personal problems of the main character, who is beautifully portrayed. There's a little bit of magic in there, and the end of the film made me cry. The film has a musical motif, it's poetic, it has beauty, and how humans find inspiration in non-human creatures and draw strength from the non-human is utterly compelling. So I would just like to end this episode of bird-related inspiration with a thought about nature and our relationship to nature. It's not a commodity. It's not something that we should view only as being there for us, purifying, humbling, nature as a playground, as a spectacle or escape or spiritual reset. Again, I'm quoting from Birdsplaining. But this idea of us ogling nature, that's only part of it. And yes, I've described to you a series of observations of incredible nature. However, I've tried to reflect on what my place is in this world. Where am I going with this? I think what I'm trying to say is think about how you move through the world. Think about what you can do to reduce your impact on the planet. So I try not to fly anywhere more than once a year. I try not to buy too much stuff. I try not to buy things that are single-use plastic, wrapped in plastic. I'm careful about where my skincare comes from. I wear my clothes for a long time. I take public transport. I pick up litter. These are all very simple things and easy to say, but if everybody took a little bit more care and tried to lessen our impact just a little bit more, then this amazing world that we inhabit would be an even better place. Yeah, I think that's my closing thought for this episode. And appreciate and love and care for all the beautiful, wonderful, non-human around us. So, if you are celebrating New Year tonight, if this is the New Year for you, then I wish you a Happy New Year. The 1st of January 2025 is nearly upon us, so I hope you are soaring into this next year like a bird. I will be back with more podcast episodes for you in 2025, but for now, all the best to you all, and goodbye.